right. Well, you know, there's something true in that song that we sing. God's love never fails. You know, we're here. We're going to celebrate that today. Something I want to do real quick before we jump into where we're going. When you came in, you got a weekly, and inside of that, there's a thing called a connection card. Take that out for just a moment, and if you're a regular attender or you're a partner here at Crosspoint, just take a moment and fill your name in. If any information has changed for you, we'd love to know that, and then you can, that's all the information we need if you've been here before. And if you're a guest with us today, we just want to say welcome. We are glad you're here. We're glad that you've chosen to be in this place. There's 100 other places you could be. Beautiful day outside, and you've chosen to be here. We take that seriously. And so, you know, we would love for you to fill this card out as well and maybe give us as much information as you're comfortable sharing with us. And then, you know, a couple things we really like knowing is, you know, this box here on the left, you know, if it's your first time with us, second time with us. And then there's a question at the bottom that says, you know, how did you hear about Crosspoint? We just love to hear how those connections are made in our community because, you know, this is like a grassroots movement that's spreading throughout our community. We'd love to hear how you came across us. So go ahead and just fill that out, and you can put this in a box in the back when you leave today. We'll tell you more about that later. We are beginning this crazy, crazy thing called a crazy journey. It's amazing we called a crazy journey a crazy, crazy thing, but we're getting crazy here at Crosspoint, you know, because we believe that God has kind of given us this dream of taking a huge, bold move over the next couple of years. And as we think about the realities of it, we think about the large scale of it in terms of what it means for a three-year-old new church community to take this kind of step. I mean, you know, there are people that would say, you guys are absolutely crazy to think that you could do this. Well, you know, crazy is becoming the new normal around here, in case you haven't noticed. And so, you know, we're going crazy. And so when you came in, you probably sat on this brochure. It's kind of a case statement. It's kind of a, here's why we're embarking, why we're beginning this journey, this crazy journey. It's got information in it that shares, you know, about Crosspoint, about what our dream, what our vision is. And it really talks about how, you know, we believe God wants to give Crosspoint a new home, a permanent home, a place where we can continue to build into people, a place where we can continue to, in an increased way, change lives through the power and presence of Christ. And so I'm going to encourage you to take this with you, this brochure, read over. It's going to probably create some questions. That's okay. We're going to have some times coming up during the month of May for everybody in the Crosspoint community, different segments of the Crosspoint community to come alongside and have kind of some open houses where you can come and just ask questions and you know, ask about, you know, what are we thinking, what are we dreaming, anything beyond what's right here. But, you know, this is becoming a defining moment for the Crosspoint community. In fact, I would say that it will be the single greatest defining moment in the next probably two decades of this church. The only defining moment that's maybe bigger is when we actually opened our doors for the first time. And so, you know, what happens over the next 7 weeks through this community will literally change or impact the trajectory of Crosspoint Church for generations down the road. And so, you know, we're approaching this seriously, and yet we're going to be doing some crazy, crazy things, and we're excited about what God is doing. And one of the things that makes it crazy is, you know, we're looking to raise $500,000, $500,000 out of a three-year-old church community above and beyond what those of you that ordinary people sit in the seats give regularly, myself as well, to help fuel this place. And so we're going after above and beyond commitments over the next 3 years to raise $500,000 to build out warehouse space just north of here up in the Saxony corporate campus and turn a warehouse space into a ministry tool that builds into people that changes lives. And, you know, we see this as this next big step in God's dream for this community. And, you know, it's going to take every one of us. In fact, the challenge is going to be if one of us sitting here today says, you know, I don't know if God needs me to accomplish this. Well, you know, whenever you wonder how God accomplishes things in the world, he always says, my plan is you. There is no other plan. There's no plan B, your plan C, your plan Z. All right? I mean, every plan that God has, he says, I'm going to use people who are following me, who are committed to my dream and my heartbeat for their community to change their community. So over the next 3 years, we're going to be looking to raise capital to hopefully take the step to move before the three-year campaign is up. But over the next 7 weeks, we're going to go on this journey that's going to kind of prepare our hearts. And we're just going to ask you to ask the questions. You know, we're going to ask you to pray for Crosspoint, pray for our leadership, for our this community, for what God wants to do here. We're going to ask you to process this information as you receive. What is God stirring in me? We're going to ask you to prepare and obey what God's moving you to do. And maybe sharing with you, this is how you can be a part of what I'm doing in this world. And so it's an amazing opportunity that we have before us. You're going to hear a lot more over the next weeks. But over the next 7 weeks, we're just going to begin this journey to kind of prepare our hearts and minds, kind of lay the soil, the bedwork for what God wants to do. And so if you've not been a part of one of these journeys with us before, these are some of the most significant things that we do during the life of Crosspoint's year. Two times a year we do a journey, and this is by far going to be the most significant. And so a journey is really three things. First part of a journey is you attend a weekend service. You guys have an A-plus already? Way to go. You got wow on your paper. I mean, God's saying great, way to go. You know, being at a weekend service is really important, and so we want to ask you to commit to being here as much as possible over the next 7 weeks. Second thing is your journal. You received a journal. Everybody got a free journal when they came in today, and we're asking you over Monday through Friday for the next 6 weeks, if you would just take 15, 20 minutes each of those days to read the prompts in here, read the scripture references, and then just write. Just spend some time meditating, praying, writing what maybe God impresses. What is God saying to you as you process through this material? Because we believe that God wants to change and take us to that next new place, not just as a community of Crosspoint, but individually as well. Then the third part of a journey is what's called a participating in crazy journey groups or our life together groups. We have about 14 groups that are up and going for the journey, a few that need more people. And so if you're not in a group, we're encouraging the entire Crosspoint community, 100% participation. You know, you might be saying, Kurt, I am not a small group person. I don't like to go into people's homes and get intimate. And when I say intimate, I'm not talking funky, weird stuff. I'm talking, you know, like talking about what's going on in my life, what I'm learning. You know, people have the chance to ask me questions. You know, and maybe that's not you. All I would ask of you for the next 6 weeks, would you give it a shot? And if so, on the back of your card, you can mark that. And again, we'll give you a chance to do that later. But these are the components of the journey. And then the last thing I want to ask you to consider, in the kind of case statement, there's a second card, in addition to the connection card that looks like this. It's got kind of a blue box around it. And we need help through this journey. We need help with mail them, staple them, call them, phone calls, emails, following up with people, making sure we're getting as many people here possible to kind of be a part of this journey with us. We need people, you know, helping with prayer team. I mean, if you can't do anything, if you would at least pray for us. All right. I mean, if you could at least pray that God would do something, you can join that team, and you'll be in a regular email updates. You know, we're gonna have some class of events. Kind of, if you joined us in 09 or 2010, we're gonna have a party for you. If you joined us in 08, we're gonna have a party for you. If you joined us in 06 or 07, we're gonna have a party for you. And it's just a chance to party and celebrate. It's also gonna be that environment for you to ask questions about what's going on. If you want to help with pulling those off, we'd love to have you do that. Or if you want to help next weekend with the I was broke and now I'm not seminar, we need that help as well. So our goal is that we just want to engage as many people as possible and what God's doing. So I take a moment and fill this out. And sometime this morning, and we'll be in touch with you. We have got an exciting morning ahead. In fact, we're going to do some crazy things today. And as we begin to do that, as we begin to just begin to say, God, what is it you want to do? I just want to pray for what God's going to do here today. So let's do that. God, I'm praying right now that as we begin this journey, may this journey officially begins right here, right now. God, every time we journey, you change us. You change this community. You change our hearts. You change our minds. You change what's happening around us. I mean, we see impact in our community, people being changed forever, the trajectory of their lives taking a different direction because you've experienced them through us. And so today, God, my prayer is that you would boldly begin to allow us to sync up with your heart for this dream, for taking this bold step to build something that is yet to be seen. As we maybe say things that aren't being said in other places. And God, we're always amazed that you continue to do this amazing thing through this group of imperfect people that call themselves Crosspoint. And that's exciting to us. It's exciting to be a part of it. Yet God, today, we're taking a huge step toward this God-sized dream further. And so God, as we think about dreaming, as we think about syncing up with your dream, as we listen to these words, God, I'm going to ask that you would just speak to us. You'd begin to just get a hold of our lives and take us on this journey beginning now. You know, when you hear those words, I mean, we capture that song because we have these crazy God-sized dreams that we believe God is doing through this community. And you know what? I have been planning for that song for 3 years right there. I mean, after three years, I've been talking to PJ every week. I'm like, is Dream On this week? I mean, is this the week we're talking about dreams? And so thank you, PJ, and Steve for knocking this out of the park today. Man, it was awesome. So, you know, we're entering this season where we're going to determine whether this dream that God has for this community is going to become a reality. I mean, we're in this season right now, and whether we're able to move into this custom-designed home up in the Hamilton Town Center up in Saxony to shape out this warehouse space to build into people and to literally increase changed lives in this community. And so for the next 7 weeks, I'm going to be helping us come to that understanding of how you may or you may not be a part of making this financially become a reality. And so, you know, this is our dream. This is what we believe God's dream is for this community, to move up into this warehouse space just about less than a mile north of here and to just exponentially expand our impact in this community as well as to continue to build into the lives of people all around us. And my hope is this. My hope is that a large percentage of us will make a three-year pledge, a three-year financial commitment above and beyond what we normally give in order to make this dream a reality. I mean, I'm not going to guilt anybody into this. We're not about playing those tricks. I mean, we don't guilt anybody into anything here at Cross. What I am going to do is get passionate. I'm going to get really excited about this. PJ said I've been talking with my hands more this week than he's ever seen me talk. And so, you know, I get passionate about it. I get excited about this. And so this is the journey that we begin today. You know, over the last few years, I've had a number of message requests from people. I mean, people are like, you know, would you talk about marriage? Or would you talk about, you know, leadership? And we did something on God in the office a while back. How do we have integrity in the office? You know, even things like relationships. And many of you love the sex series. Some of you hate the sex series. You know, that's a big one. So I just, you know what? I've never had somebody come and say to me, hey, why don't we hit money in the blunt way that we do the sex series? Why could you just take a few weeks to talk about money? Because, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable with my relationship with how much money I have, and I just like somebody to talk to me point blank about it. In fact, actually, I've had one person say that to me. One person here at Crosspoint said, hey, Kurt, when are you gonna attack money and just hit it head on? And so, you know, this is what we're going to be doing over these next few weeks, because I've actually realized something. Come to this realization that sex and money have a lot in common. I don't know if there's a lot of connections there, but they have a lot in common. You know, it's one of those two most important topics that go on in our lives. And so, you know, the reason that they have maybe something in common is because, you know, when it comes to things like money, there's something about going too far with our money. Just like with sex, there's something about going too far with our sexuality. And so, you know, one of the questions that sometimes is asked is, you know, with sex, how far can we go without sinning? You know, when we think about money, the question is how much can we keep for ourselves without sinning? And so, you know, to go too far with money means we're greedy, right? I mean, nobody thinks they're greedy. I mean, if you're greedy, you don't think you're greedy. I mean, you're like, well, I don't have any extra. I don't have access. I don't have very much. You can still be greedy if you have very little. You know, when it comes to sex, going too far means we're depraved. And so, you know, one of the questions that oftentimes for singles, for people that maybe are outside of a marriage context is, you know, how far can I go? How many bases can I round short of hitting a home run? And God basically not be mad at me, right? And when it comes to our money, you know, how far can I go in spending money on myself before God gets upset with me? And so when it comes to money, you know, I mean, there's questions. I get a number of questions, you know, periodically. You know, things like, you know, well, the biblical principle of tithing in the scriptures is mainly an Old Testament principle, right? I mean, it's Old Testament, and since we're not Jews and we're not living in Old Testament times anymore, that means that doesn't really apply, right? That's a question we get periodically. Another one is, you know, do I have to really give 10% of what I have, of what I make? Is it 10% of my gross, or is it 10% of what I net? Right, that's another big question. You know, another one is when I sell an asset, or even I had this question recently, when I get my large tax check back, do I have to give a portion off that too? Well, that goes back to, are you grossing or netting your 10%? I mean, you know, there's all kinds of questions when it comes to money, but the fundamental flaw with these questions is this. The flaw is the default of saying that everything is mine, and so how little can I give? And that just shows that there's this fundamental misunderstanding of our role, of our purpose here on earth. Because, you know, that shows that we're all about, hey, I own all of this stuff. But we have to realize, we've come to this reality that we aren't the owners. I mean, God didn't call us. He didn't put us here on this earth. Our purpose is not to be owners. It's to be managers. And so one of my goals is when you walk out of this service today is that you walk out saying this statement that says, it's not mine. Can you say that with me? It's not mine. You know, when you leave, I want you to say it like you believe it, all right? I mean, we want to come to that place where you're like, you know, everything we have, it's actually not mine. We're owners answer to themselves. Managers answer to the owner who has entrusted them with something that he's bestowed upon them. So today, as we launch this crazy campaign, this crazy journey, I want to look at a couple realities. We're going to be looking at realities over the next few weeks of ourselves. And in this case, I want us to look at this reality of our stuff. Because, you know, if you come to that place where you're willing to sacrifice financially for God, you know, over and above what you normally give, over and above your tithe, or maybe you're going to begin doing that, you know, then I want you to just sit back and take a look and just watch what God does in your life. I mean, if your heart is open and you're willing to take one step forward in releasing some of that which God has given you and begin to return that to God, I want you to just watch how maybe God begins to work and free up things in your life. I mean, I want you to watch and see how maybe if you're like, man, I'm going to take my kid to a game, and all of a sudden, instead of going and buying tickets, somebody just says, hey, I've got some tickets to a game. Would you like to go? Actually happened to me last week, and it wasn't the Pacers, by the way. I don't know if that would have been a gift if it was the Pacers. It was LeBron James and the Cavs. I mean, the greatest team in basketball right now. And I was able to take my son because somebody said, hey, I've got some tickets in Cleveland for you. I mean, it's maybe one of those moments where you're like, hey, I need this jacket. It's $60, and you're willing to fork it out, and you get up to the cashier, and all of a sudden you find out it's 50% off when they ring it up. And you're like, wow, it's just $30. It just got came my way. Well, maybe these are not coincidences. Maybe it's God saying, hey, everything that you have is actually mine. Maybe this is God saying, hey, I'm going to free some things up in your life so you can be generous. And so I want you to just over the next weeks, if you're willing to at least consider this, to say, you know, watch how God might begin to unfold and free up in your life. You know, Jesus told a story once that illustrated this concept. He illustrated this for us. And so, you know, I want us to look at this today, and I want to look at these three things I want to talk with you about. God gives everything, God owns everything, and God gets everything. And so in Matthew 25, we begin to see him breaking this out in verse 14. And here's what he says right here. He says, and again, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to yet another 1 talent, each according to his ability, and then he went on his journey. And so this is a story about a guy who has a lot of wealth, and he says, I'm going to distribute what I have to 3 different individuals. And 1 talent was basically worth a year's wages. So you have 3 guys, one that has approximately $150,000 in today's terms, another has maybe, you know, $60,000, 2 talents, and then yet another gets 1 talent, which is equivalent to about $30,000 in today's currency. And so the owner leaves his wealth, his assets, with these 3 different managers, and he commissions them. He says, I want you to put this money to wise use. Now, you know what Jesus is saying right here? What he's really saying is everything that you have has been given to you by God. That's the major principle of this story right here. He says it didn't originate with you. It didn't come from you. And so we shouldn't have this attitude that it's mine to do something with. He says, if you take this perspective, you change your perspective, is what I have is actually from God, then you begin to see that I'm just here to be a resource manager. Our job is to make the best use of our liquid and hard assets. I mean, that's what this story is about. And so, you know, the story illustrates that God gives everything, but it also tells us that God does not give equally. And for some of us, I mean, we cry foul when we read this because we're like, God is not fair. Why is God not fair? I mean, you maybe feel like you're always the one on the short end of the shaft with God. And you're like, you're always crying, well, God, I wish God was more fair with me. Well, I want you to think about that statement for a moment. I mean, do you really want God to be fair? I mean, if God was fair, then none of us would have any hope in the world. I mean, the fact that God isn't fair is actually, it's actually a really good thing. And so, you know, there may be somebody who has more or less than you. I mean, in fact, at every point in your life, there will always be somebody around you who has more than what you have. There's always going to be people around you who have less than what you have. It's just like with looks. You know, your mom probably told you there's always somebody that's going to look better than you, and there's always going to be somebody that maybe doesn't look as good as you do. I mean, it's just a reality of life. I mean, you know, say it's good. God gives and everything. So everything we have comes from him. You know, the first church I served at, there's a guy by the name of Bill Walker. And Bill, you know, Bill was just this ordinary common guy. But Bill worked like an ordinary, you know, hourly wage job for the highway department. He didn't have a lot. He lived in a small little house that was somewhat depleted. And the thing I remember about Bill is I don't know that he had shopped in like 30 years. All right, I mean, when I would see Bill, I mean, he was really big into wearing plaid suits. And Bill was about in his 60s at the time, and so he was really into the holidays, too. So if it was St. Patrick's Day, it was not uncommon to see like a bold, you know, forest green blazer with another print of plaid lime green pants. All right, I mean, this is just, you could see Bill coming from a mile away. You know, on Valentine's Day, it was like a red plaid blazer with pink plaid pants. I mean, every holiday was celebrated, and yet what distinctively, you know, made me uncomfortable about Bill was this. There would be moments on Sunday morning. I wore a suit then to church. I mean, it was my early days. You know, I looked like a real pastor. And so he'd walk up and he'd just literally pull my suit coat open and he'd stick an envelope in my pocket. And, you know, sometimes I'd open it right there. And the first time this happened, I just walked and I'm like, oh, I'll look at that later. And when I opened this envelope up, it made me really uncomfortable because there was a $20 bill in that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why is Bill giving me a $20 bill? I went back and I talked to him, and I'm like, Bill, you need this. Why are you giving this to me? He's like, hey, I just felt like that's what God asked me to do. He said, I similar to what I just shared a few moments ago, he said, hey, I went and bought something. I saved $20 on it, and I thought, you know, this isn't mine. God's just given this to me to redistribute to others. And it made me really uncomfortable because I'm sitting there thinking, man, here's a guy who has less probably than I have, and yet he's giving me something that he sees as something God's just blessed him with. Because Bill recognized that God owns everything. I mean, he didn't take anything that he owned. This is the second thing I want us to realize. Not only does God give everything, God owns everything. You know, as we launch this crazy journey, as we launch into this crazy campaign today, you know, there's one thing I know, there's a few things I know. There's one thing I know is that there are some of us in this room that are looking for reasons not to give. I mean, I know there's some of us who are going to have a bad attitude when we walk out of here. You know, why? Because we're looking for a good reason not to give. We're saying, well, you know, can I make a justifiable cause against why I shouldn't be a part of this? And, you know, in reality, you know, when you put something in the joy box in the back, yeah, when you put something in the box, I mean, you know, you're not giving anything. All you're really doing is you're returning something to the rightful owner that God has given you and just ask that you give a portion of it back. I mean, there's nothing you and I have that we own. Nothing. I mean, Jesus tells this story. In this story, he says when it's time for the owner to come back, here's what happens. We see that he says, I'm going to find out very quickly how these managers approached what I gave them. He said, are they going to see themselves as resource managers, or are they going to see themselves saying, hey, this is mine for me to do what I please with? So take a look at what happens here in verse 19. It says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And so he came and he settled accounts. I mean, think about this way. You know, when you come into this world, you have absolutely nothing. You know, and then as life goes on, you begin to attain stuff. I mean, you begin to attain, like, children's stuff. You have all your toys and all things you like playing with, and then that moves to teenage stuff, iPods, iPhones, you know, all that cool stuff, touch pads. I mean, and then all of a sudden, you know, you eventually go on to college, and you have college stuff, which means you don't have really anything. But what you're doing is you're pursuing this education that's what going to do what? It's going to allow you to get more stuff, right? I mean, you're trying to learn more, to know more than the person next to you, so you can go out and you can get a bigger and a better job so you can attain more stuff. And then when you get that job, you know, when you get your first promotion, what do? You come to this place where you're like, I have two options. I can either buy more stuff that I don't have with the promotion that I just got, or I can trade in my stuff that's not quite meeting it for me so I can go out and get more stuff. I mean, so, you know, our whole life is in a sense spent in this way of saying, you know, I'm going to gain more stuff and better stuff, and then eventually we have to buy a bigger house to contain all of our stuff, and then eventually we have to begin to rent, like, storage sheds to put our stuff in because we don't have enough room in our house. Do you know the storage shed industry today is the largest growing industry in the world? There are more storage sheds in this world than there ever been in the history of the world because we like to collect and attain stuff. And then eventually, you know what happens? We die. Plain and simple, we die. I mean, it's 100% effective so far that eventually you're going to die. I mean, it's just if you weren't in that reality, I'm just revealing it to you today. You're going to die at some point, all right? And when you die, you know what happens? Somebody's going to go through your house with like a Sharpie, and they're going to go put their initials on your stuff. And then eventually, that stuff that was so important to you is gonna go backwards in the food chain, in a sense. I mean, it's going to go to somebody who maybe couldn't afford all the stuff that you had. And the only reason they could get it is when they could go through, somebody that died and go through and put their initials on something, take it home. And eventually, it's going to be passed backwards down the food chain. It's going to end up in some third grader's bedroom. This stereo that you just had to have, it's going to end up in third grader's bedroom. And eventually, they're going to be like, oh, it's not quite doing it for me. I need to trade it in for something better. And so this possession that was like the ultimate possession for you, all of a sudden, is something that a third grade doesn't even want. This thing that you thought it was an ultimate possession, what you begin to realize is this thing that I had, it wasn't actually my possession, it actually possessed me. I mean, sometimes God's up there and he's looking down at us. He's like, they just don't get it. I mean, I think sometimes we make God laugh. It's like, they just don't get it. You know, they're down there and he's like, it's not theirs. They're not the owners, they're managers. If only they would understand this truth, if only we would understand this truth, our lives would be more free, our lives would be more generous, our lives would be much simpler. I mean, it's like God saying, if only we'd understand that what we think we own is not really ours, he said it would radically change how you live. Not only would it radically change you, but he said, not only would your life change, but it could potentially impact hundreds, thousands, even millions of other people all across the face of the globe if Christians began to live this way. And so when I make this statement, you know, managers are better off than owners. I mean, for many of us, I mean, we cannot relate to that. I mean, you know, it's because very few of us actually approach our stuff as managers. I mean, very few of us actually realize that any moment we could be held accountable for how we're managing what God has given to us because it's not ours. I mean, very few of us have ever thought or acted like managers. Very few of us have ever tasted the sweetness that comes from being a godly manager from that which he allows us to steward. I mean, you know, for some of us, you're sitting here like, I have no idea what Kurt is talking about, right? I have no idea. He's just talking gibberish, right? Because we have no idea what this means. Yeah, and you're maybe even thinking, you know, I think Kurt's just saying this to try to get this crazy dream, this crazy campaign off the ground, you know, but it's deeper than that. It's really deeper than that. What I'm really getting at is it's about making sure that money doesn't possess that place in our heart that's designed for God. It's really what it's about. So to give us a taste of what this is like, I want us to do this little exercise. We're really getting into experimenting here at Crosspoint. So I want us all to do this exercise. Whether it's your first time with us here, whether this is, you know, you've been here since the day one, I want you to go ahead and reach under your chair, and there's an envelope under your chair. Just reach under it. Go ahead and reach right now, and you're going to feel something under there. And as you pull that envelope out, I want you to open it. Just run your finger through the tab, open it, and as you open that, you're going to see that you just received some cold, hard cash. All right, and everybody in this room should have cash in their hands right now. In fact, if you don't have cash in your hands, raise your hand, because there were a few stray envelopes that got in there without cash. Raise your hands, and I know you're going to be like, oh, they're going to think I'm greedy. No, just raise your hands. All right, it's all part of the experiment. But, you know, as you look around and see what the person next to you got, you know, there's some people that got $5. There's some people that got $10. There's a handful of people that got $25 in the room because, you know, and here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. What I want you to know, be really clear about this right now. This is Crosspoint's money. All right, this is Crosspoint's. This is money that's a part of our blessing budget that we're going to use to bless other people. We're putting it in your hands right now, and this is not yours. I want to be really clear about that. But Crosspoint, under God's direction, is giving you this cash right now. We're giving you cold hard cash so that you can go out, and we want you to do something with this money this week. We want you to go out and we want you to give this to someone or something, some organization that will cause God to smile. All right? And you're going to have to think hard about this. I mean, you're going to have to think about impact with this. You're going to have to think about, you know, what are the needs around me? What are the things going on in the people around me, the organizations around me? And you're going to have to think about being held accountable for how you use this cold, hard cash, because it's not yours. It's Crosspoint's, and yet we're putting it in your hand to steward. And you know, if you're thinking, well, man, I could drive to like Keystone and 465 and put it in this panhandler's hand at the intersection, that is probably not good stewardship of this money. I'm just going to be really honest with you. I would encourage you not to take that option. I want you to think hard and to say, what does it look like for me to use what God's just given me, what Crosspoint under God's direction has just given me to make maximum impact? And it's going to be different based on what you have in your hands right now. And there's a few rules for this, all right? So here's the rules. First, this money does not come back to Crosspoint. So basically, I don't want to see a bunch of $5 bills in the joy box, right? I don't want to see that. Secondly, this money doesn't stay with you, all right? This is not going to your wallet to bless you and to say, wow, Crosspoint, we bless you a lot of ways. This is for you to go and make God smile somewhere else. Thirdly, this money has to have maximum impact. You're going to have to wrestle with it. Say, where can I have maximum impact with what I've just been given? And then lastly, you must report how you use this, all right? There's going to be a link on our website after today that'll generate an email that'll say crazy money on it, and we want you to tell us the story of what you did. PJ, I'm just telling you that for the first time. We're going to have a link on our website, and it's going to say crazy money on it, and you're going to tell us this week or next what you did with this money. And so I want you to just keep this in your hand. I want you to just hold on to it, all right? Just keep it right there, because we like money this way, right? Tight. All right, so everything we have is God's. It's God's goodness that he's given us. He's saying, I want you to be resource managers, and God's entrusting us to steward this for maximum impact right here. And so, you know, there are three people in this story, and the master comes back to see what the return on his investment is. He comes back, and there's three different people. And, you know, the one with the greatest return on investment basically gets the most praise. I mean, he gets the most praise. I mean, the master's like, man, well done. I mean, you took what I gave you, Stuart. You made maximum impact in exponential ways. And that's what we realize. People that do good with the money that God entrusts to them actually honor God the most. I mean, this sends a signal to God that, you know, you're basically saying, God, bring more my way, because you know that when you bring more my way, I'm going to do good. I'm going to bless and exponentially bless others. That's what you say when you do this. Take a look at what the master says here in verse 29. It says, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. So the final principle that I want us to realize is that, you know, all of the managers, I mean, when the master returned, all of the managers surrendered back the owner's assets. Third idea here, third reality is God gets everything back. I mean, one way or another, God gets everything. I mean, I've heard stories. In fact, recently I had a conversation with somebody who, about a year and a half ago, their house burned down, and you know, and it was something they really loved, and I was talking to a few of the kids who were a part of this family. They're still in temporary housing, and one of the things that they kind of said was, you know, we're realizing that we didn't really own that house. You know, God will do things at times in life to show us that regardless of what we think we own, it's actually going to go back to him eventually. It's eventually going to go to dust. I mean, that house went from something beautiful to dust in just a moment. I think God uses moments like that to remind us that what we have is not our own. It's this fascinating, fascinating thing right here. Leading theologian, Dutch prime minister, former Dutch prime minister, a guy by the name of Abraham Kuyper, he said something really interesting. Try to grasp the significance of this. He said, there's not a square inch in the whole human domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign of all, does not cry, mine. Not a square inch of what you own, of what you see, of what you experience, does he not cry, mine? Now relax, I'm not saying, you know, you're going to go home, God's going to burn your house down, you know, in terms of trying to teach you this lesson. But, you know, although, you know, what I am praying for is that as we go through this journey, that God will reveal to us, hey, what I have is not mine. Everything that I think I own is actually just something on loan that God said, I want you to be a manager, a resource manager. Here's all I'm saying. You know, God's going to get what he wants. God's going to get what he wants when he wants it. The sooner that you and I realize that, the sooner that you and I come face to face with that reality, and we surrender to the fact that he's the owner, the better off we're going to be. Everybody take your money in your hands for just a moment. I want you to hold it in both hands like this. Some of you have multiple bills. Some of you have one. Just hold it out like this. I want you to hold it up with your palms open. You know, this right here should be our spiritual and mental posture with everything we have. Right here. Just open hands with, and when we're standing like this, we're sitting like this, two things can happen. The first is that God can take it away at any time. When you're standing like this, I mean, anybody can swipe this. God could take this away at any given moment when you stand like this, when you sit like this. The other reality is that God can give you more when you're sitting like this. That's two realities. What happens when your fists are open with what you have like this in your hands? Now, everybody take your hands and, like, hold it in tight, you know, tight-fisted against your chest. You know, this is the mental and spiritual posture of most of America right here. I mean, this is the posture of our American culture. I mean, it's a great culture. I love our country. But this is what we're about right here. It's saying mine. When you do this, you're telling God, you're saying, God, this is mine. It's not yours. You know, and there's two things that happen when we live like this. There's basically two realities here as well. One, that you're not going to get it anymore. You can't receive more when your fists are tightly closed holding it against yourself. There's just no way. The only way you'll get more is manipulating the system, not because God's involved in your life. I mean, not because God's blessing you more and more. You might say, man, that's not true. I have been blessed this year with more and more, and I've been holding my money like this. Well, yeah, but it's because you've manipulated the system. You've been out doing it on your own. It's not because God's been blessing you. Let me be really clear about that. You know what the other reality is when we stand like this is you're forcing God to rip something out of your hand that he wants back. You know what happens when God rips? It hurts. That's why for some of us, when we hold and stand like this, we're like, man, God just ripped something out of my life. We get bitter because we haven't come to the place of realizing that God owns everything, gives everything, and eventually he's going to get it back. And this is a reality. And when we're standing like this, when we're sitting open-fisted with our hands open, our hearts open, ready to receive and give, then we can receive freely, we can give freely. You know, and that's where I want this church to be. I want God to look down on this community. I want God to just be pouring more into people's laps because he sees that we're open-handed like this. It's like, man, this crazy dream, I want to see God do amazing things through this journey because we're sitting like this. You know, I want God to look down and just be happy. I want him to just smile on us. And, you know, think about it. I mean, how many hearts could God touch if we sit like this instead of this? How many lives could be changed if we sit like this instead of this? How many more resources could God give our way for us to continue to be more generous and bless others in increasing ways if we sit like this and like this? I tell you one thing that's going to happen. God would smile. Here's his response. Here's the master's response. He said, you know, to those who took and had this open hand, said, hey, God, I'm managing this resource you gave me. He says, the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in the master's happiness. Man, I want God to be happy with us. I want to be in that place where God is happy. I want to share in the master's happiness because we're standing like this. And so I want to challenge you to take this money. I want you to be a wise manager as you use whatever's in your hand right now. So you think about your bank accounts. I'm asking you the question, would you be a wise manager with it? I want you to let us know what you do with this, what God does with this money that he's bestowed into your hands this week. We're on this most significant spiritual journey this church has ever been on to date. And on June 6th is Celebration Weekend, Commitment Weekend, where we're going to be asking you to say, okay, as we've asked you to listen, learn, pray, and process, and now it's Commitment Weekend, June 6th, Commitment Weekend, the data is going to come in. I mean, God already knows if we're going to reach this dream or not. If we're going to reach 500,000, God already knows that, but the data is going to come in to see, have we said, God, what our treasures, our hearts are with you. Because that's ultimately what the data is going to say. And as a result, I mean, you'll have the opportunity to be a part of having some ownership in what God's doing here in a way that you may have never experienced in your life before. Not only will it affect your heart, it'll affect hundreds, thousands of people's hearts if this is where we find ourselves. So once you take out that connection card, and on the back, there's a few steps I want to walk you through. So we're really big on taking next steps. And so a few of those I want to ask you to do. You know, the first one is, saying, hey, I'm going to participate in weekend services over the next 7 weeks. I will be here at Cross Point unless I have a good reason. Good means, you know, something you'd miss work for, not like on the golf course. You can do that later. Good is, you know, if you're sick, you're traveling, you have a wedding, a good reason. We believe God's going to do something as we launch each week here. You know, another step could be, you know, I want to register for this free seminar. I was broken, now I'm not, next weekend. Huge thing that's about helping us become financially free so that we can be generous. You might be sitting there saying, man, there's no way I can be generous. Well, we want to help you get free next weekend. Maybe your step is saying, I'm going to read the crazy journal 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. I'm going to just read and listen and write. Maybe another step, you know, we're encouraging 100% participation in our crazy groups. And so if you're not in a group, just consider it for 6 weeks. We'll help you get connected. And then lastly, maybe it's your first time with us, you just want to find out more about Crosspoint. May 2nd will be a time where you can do that, explore Crosspoint. Take about 10 seconds and just kind of fill this out. Say, you know, what am I willing to commit to? Am I willing to commit to multiple things as I come out of here? Because we believe God wants to do something very, very significant. These are huge spiritual defining moments in this culture, in this Crosspoint culture's history. And so right now, I just want to pray, God, that as we're filling these cards out, that you would begin to move. The journey has begun. And God, as we begin to commit ourselves to just listening, to praying, to being present so that you can speak to us, so that you can continue to reveal us what you want to do through our lives, God, I'm going to ask that you would move. I would ask that you would awaken our hearts to the reality of what